You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Astounding and unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. That's the way many people described the fast-breaking events of Eastern Europe and Russia during the closing months of 1989. The concrete Berlin Wall was smashed open. Seemingly invincible communist dictators were forced out almost overnight, and entire governments were redirected. But the most important change was spiritual. In Eastern Europe for over 40 years, and in Russia for over 70 years, many churches were either converted to secular use, or they were boarded up and left to deteriorate. Untold numbers of clergy were exiled. Others were martyred as they stood up courageously against atheistic communism. Virtually all news commentators and journalists fail to point out that communism is not a type of government. Communism is atheism, disguised as a government. After nearly a century of beating down the Christians and killing and maiming its leaders, proponents of atheistic communism have finally had to admit that their endless efforts of spiritual repression have accomplished very little. In fact, it was precisely this terrible repression, fueled by atheistic acts of cowardice and brutality, that in many cases strengthened the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Suffering purifies the faith. It happens under communism, and it also happens in everyday life. Countless listeners to this program have testified in letters how they, even though they have not lived under communism, have had their faith tested by the fiery trials of life. These testings produced endurance and character. Trials and difficulties often turn people around. Hardships frequently cause us to refocus our faith. We stop doting upon ourselves, and we begin to feel less and less sorry for ourselves. We begin to realize that by our own power, we are not going to make it in this life. And so then, enabled by the Spirit of God, we often begin to focus our faith on the Lord Jesus. This is what changes life. And this is how God often brings us from the darkness of despair into His wonderful light. If you find yourself enduring suffering at this hour, instead of becoming bitter, count it all for joy, my friend. Yes, rejoice that these experiences will enable you to see your Savior better. Rejoice that, through your present sufferings, you can better understand the pain and the agony that Jesus Himself endured for your sake. And in your hours of agony, and even in your moments of defeat and despair, by faith, always cling firmly to the promise of Jesus that He will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. The ability of Christ's church to follow its master, even in the midst of great suffering, even under vile and atheistic communism, was predicted by Jesus. That's correct. This ultimate triumph of God's plan, that His church would be victorious in the end, was predicted by our blessed Lord. And the Savior gave this prediction on the first Palm Sunday as He rode triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem. Great crowds turned out to welcome Jesus as He rode toward the city of splendor. Excitement was high, but there was also a more sinister and ugly side to the celebration. Enemies of the blessed Redeemer were also present. These antagonists of the promised Messiah were increasingly frightened as they saw the great crowds flocking after their enemy, the man from Nazareth, called Jesus. And so in their frustration and uncontrollable hatred, these conniving religious rulers of that day did something quite unexpected. You see, instead of they themselves addressing the crowds, pleading and asking the swelling and cheering crowds to calm down, these scheming religious leaders turned to Jesus And they asked Jesus, yes, they asked Jesus, the Savior, to silence the ecstatic and celebrating throngs. St. Luke describes the scene when he wrote this. Some of the Pharisees in the multitude said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But then the Bible also records a quite unexpected response from the blessed Savior. Jesus answered his enemies by saying, I tell you that if these people become silent, then the stones themselves will cry out. These lifeless stones lying along the dusty path of Palm Sunday, could they have actually cried out? Could these stones have spoken? Of course they could have. By the power of God who enabled a donkey to speak to Balaam and a heavy metal axe head to float on the water of the Jordan River, this same Almighty God could have enabled the lifeless stones to cry out. And so Jesus on that first Palm Sunday was sternly warning his enemies. Don't try to stop God, he said. Don't even begin to contemplate such a foolish thought. No man can interfere and prevent God from displaying his glory and from executing his righteous judgment. Not even the angels in heaven can deter God from showing his grace and his mercy upon those whom he loves. Church officials of Jesus' day who rejected Christ, they tried to do this. But they could not stop the Lord's plan of grace and mercy. Communist governments of the last century have been unable to stop God, and atheistic dictators dare not taunt him. And so, when we re-examine our text for today, it is important for us to see that the warning that Jesus gave his enemies when they tried to stop God's plan of salvation on Palm Sunday, this warning was fulfilled, at least in part, when they finally murdered the innocent Savior on the cross. The rocks, oh, the rocks, they did cry out. The entire creation convulsed. No power in heaven or earth could have prevented the violent response of all creation on the day the Savior died. When Jesus died, the entire creation was shaken to its deepest foundations. A gigantic earthquake took place. Huge rocks cried out by splitting apart. Graves opened. The dead got up out of the graves. And in the Bible, in the Gospel of Matthew, we read the eerie account that these dead walked around in the city of Jerusalem. Cataclysms of creation do not take place when a normal man dies. Earthquakes and cosmic eruptions do not take place when kings or presidents depart from this life. But the incredible, yes, even the bizarre took place when Jesus died. These extraordinary events clearly testified that in Christ's death, God had acted in history. This crucifixion event was so major that all of creation was deeply disturbed. Over the centuries, writers of literature have tried to explain the meaning of the death of Jesus. Modern film directors, using the most advanced sound effects and the most sophisticated and emotionally moving visual images, have repeatedly tried to capture the significance of the cataclysmic events and the meaning of the crucifixion on the day that Jesus died. But all of this is quite unnecessary. Oh, it is unneeded. You see, the meaning of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus was explained in a profoundly simple way by the apostles. God the Holy Spirit inspired these holy men to write. The apostle Peter explained what happened on the crucifixion cross when he wrote this, and Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by the wounds of Jesus, you and I were healed from our sins. Again, St. Peter writes, For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that Jesus might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but now made alive again in the Spirit. And in the book of Titus, we read what happened when Jesus died on the cross. Christ Jesus gave himself for us so that he might redeem us from every last lawless deed. These words of the apostle are not merely sophisticated and academically oriented theological explanations of the greatest events in history. These words from the Bible are from God. They are His gospel of hope. And this gospel of unconditional forgiveness enables you and me to begin every day of every week in a new way. Instead of each morning permitting your mind to be harassed by fear and worries, think first each day of what Jesus Christ means to you. You see, Jesus wants to give you a new life and a new hope. The blessed Savior strongly desires to provide you and your family with special help. The Lord of love wants you to know at this hour that He died for your sins, and that with this knowledge, Jesus now wants to give you the opportunity to start over again. Your past is behind you, and everything ahead of you now is new, and you can start again. Oh, to be sure, your friends may remind you of your past failures, but Jesus never, ever will. On this Palm Sunday, then, let your heart be unburdened from guilt, and let your spirits be encouraged as you realize by faith that no power in heaven or on earth could ever deter or even begin to prevent the love that God has for you and your family. This teaching of God's love for you is based solidly on the Palm Sunday words of Jesus, that if anybody, yes, if anyone, whoever it might be, tries to prevent God from coming to you with His grace, then even the lifeless stones will indeed cry out. Palm Sunday packs a powerful proclamation of help and hope for struggling families. Sociologists now tell us that over 12 million children, imagine this, over 12 million children are growing up in homes with only one parent. These children, deprived of the God-given gift of both parents, this group now comprises a population equal to the combined populations of Colorado, Iowa, Kansas, and the entire state of Minnesota. This statistic is simply staggering. In these single-parent homes, where the mother or father is often driven to discouragement or even despair, the unchanging Palm Sunday love of God in Christ comes as a lifesaver indeed. God's Palm Sunday message of His unconditional love and grace lifts up spirits and grants a new breath of fresh air and hope. The core of the Palm Sunday gospel is simply this: God will never abandon. No, He will never, ever abandon parents or children. Mothers and fathers of broken homes often suffer silently as they shoulder great burdens of guilt and remorse. "Why did I make so many foolish mistakes in my marriage?" some say today. "If I could only do it over again, I would take much more time in deciding whom to marry. If only I had done this, or if only I had done that." And the litany of regret goes on and on and on. Now, to those of you who are victims of the devil's tricks of marriage breaking and divorce, let me assure you, on the basis of God's holy word, that you can be absolutely sure that God will never abandon you as you, with His help, struggle to provide for your children. God will not leave you as you, empowered by His Holy Spirit, seek to serve Him and then also rejoice as you receive His special blessings. With Palm Sunday determination and joy, Jesus is also saying to those of you who are now retired and those of you who are already confined to rest homes, don't lose hope. The best is yet to come. God's plan for you will not be derailed. God's salvation is waiting for you. And all of you who depart from this life, trusting in Me, Jesus says, shall soon be given the greatest hope of all, eternity in the very presence of God. For your help and hope, then, I have spoken special promises of the Bible. These promises are God's words. These are eternal words of truth and life. These are words of help and hope. How sad, then, to read about a group of so-called biblical scholars who have met regularly in recent years to cast doubt upon the words of Jesus. On a regular basis, this group issues a press release saying that certain sections of the gospel and even parts of the Lord's Prayer are not genuine. When asked why they do this, the leader of the group simply responded by saying that they do this so that they can get the public's attention. And so on this Palm Sunday, instead of caving in to the biblical scoffers, instead of becoming discouraged by those phonies who claim that no one can know for sure what Jesus said, it is important, yes, it is even imperative, that we stress and that we highlight and that we extol the grace and the mercy of God. Oh, indeed, the devil tried to prevent Jesus from dying for our sins, but Jesus was not deterred. With unflinching determination, he carried on. Straight to the crucifixion cross the Savior went. Down went the devil. Crushed was the prince of darkness when Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Then up went Jesus' victory. Out of the cold grave moved the resurrection body of the Prince of Light and Hope. These events, quite undescribable in human terms, represent a solid foundation for faith. And so may I encourage you in the strongest way this week, build upon this foundation, both for yourself, your faith life, and for that of your family. Establish your family's future upon this sin-atoning death and upon the life-guaranteeing resurrection of Jesus. Not long ago, we received a letter from a listener with the word H-E-L-P spelled out in bold letters across the paper. This individual was greatly discouraged. She said that she was tired of life. She said that she had tried so hard. She had heard all of the trite sayings of life endlessly repeated, including the one which says, "Don't worry, everything will be okay." But she said none of these expressions helped her. Finally, she commented, "All one gains in life is more misery, and there is no reason for having lived at all." Oh, my friend, if you today feel like this listener does, and if you are convinced that life is only one long and endless hellish experience, then may I encourage you to meditate for a moment on Jesus. Look what he experienced in this life. See the opposition and the hatred that Jesus experienced. The prophet Isaiah tells us that Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so Jesus did not open his mouth. Yes, this is what Jesus did. This is what he was doing on the first Palm Sunday. He was offering himself as a perfect sacrifice to pay for your sins, your failures, your mistakes, and mine. And so then, as you and I live in this life, the devil and his accomplices are going to try to defeat you, just like he tried to defeat Jesus. But have no fear. Place your complete faith in the Lord Jesus. The devil may even try to destroy you, but don't become worried and filled with anxiety, because if and when the devil tries this, he will have to face your divine friend and protector. He will have to face that one whom, if he so desires, has so much power that he can even make stones cry out. God bless you then in this Palm Sunday, and may you live each and every day with confidence in the Almighty God, the God of grace, and the God of love, and the God of perfect forgiveness. Amen.